Hey y'all, this is Sophie and welcome to episode 88 of the Big Boo Cast. Melanie and I didn't actually plan to record an episode this soon after the last episode, after the Christmas gift guide. But here's the thing, y'all. Our coaches left. And then Prince Harry and Meghan Markle got engaged. So we had to have a place to put all our feelings. We decided the podcast might be a great place to put all our feelings. So you're going to hear all of our feelings for the next little bit as we talk about the coaching changes in the SEC, specifically at our schools. And then we're going to talk about this engagement, because that's some happy news. Before we do that, though, I wanted to tell you that just in case you want to follow along with us on social media when we're not actually doing the podcast, you can do that on Twitter. Melanie is at Big Mama and I am at Boo Mama. And you can do that on Instagram. Melanie is at Melanie Shankle and I am at Boo Mama 205. We're also on our blogs, boomama.net for me, thebigmamablog.com for Melanie. And then if you're on Facebook, we are too. We have a podcast Facebook page. It's at facebook.com/thebigboocast. So we'd love to see you there, but we're really glad you're here. Here's episode 88. Hey, everybody. This is Sophie. This is Big Mama.
Hey, it's Melanie. It's Big Mama.
We will warn you in advance that we may have some internet issues, but we felt like it was very important that we took some time today to podcast.
I can't even tell you. It feels like this is a test of the emergency broadcast system. Like, in the event of an actual emergency, and if anything has ever... I felt like this morning when you texted me, because you were the first one to break the news to me, by the way, that Meghan and Harry were engaged. I felt like when I got that text, I thought, well, I would have stretched and hydrated better all weekend long had I known the wealth of information and news that was going to come my way in the next like 48 to 72 hours.
We really all needed a day off, I feel like. I mean, I feel if there were ever a day.
I pretty much took a day off.
I
mean,
it was quite a way to wake up this morning. And this was the first morning in a while I've had to get up really early. But I will say it made that early wake up time pretty worth it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I thought, you know, I went to bed last night thinking my biggest concern was who A&M was going to hire as our next coach. And by, you know, 7:45 this morning, that had turned on a dime to what am I going to wear to the wedding?
That's right.
You know? I mean, because clearly, okay, so we should be getting an invite.
Where do we start? Do we start with Harry and Meghan, or do we with our good friends Harry and Meghan, or do we start with football? Where do we go?
I don't even know where we start. I think let's go with football. Let's start in chronological order of things as they occurred.
Okay, I feel like that's a good call, because I'm going to tell you something, and you know this. So as you know, the last time we recorded a podcast actually last week that won't come out because we're in some kind of space-time continuum where we actually have episodes like piled up a little bit, for us at least.
Yes, yes.
So we recorded an episode that won't come out for a week or so. But as you know, I went to the Mississippi State Ole Miss game this past Thursday night.
Yes, I'm aware.
Left Thanksgiving lunch, went straight to Starkville. Now, you and I had talked during the previous week about the Kevin Sumlin situation at A&M, and that your sources had indicated... Yes. That it was probably going to be his last game against LSU.
Yes, I felt like that was pretty credible information that that was going to be his last game, win or lose.
So we had that sort of tucked away in the backs of our minds.
Yeah.
We go to Starkville Thursday night, and as we are waiting, like sitting in the stands, waiting for the game to start, we see a tweet on, I can't remember if my sister saw it first or if I saw it first, but there's a tweet that somebody has retweeted where a sports writer says, essentially, I'm betting that this is Dan Mullen's last game at Davis Wade Stadium. Things will move quickly.
Oh, now see, I did not know this part of the story. This is news to me.
Yeah, so you can imagine. I'm like, this is ridiculous. He's not going anywhere. Like, why would he go anywhere? Yeah, there's always rumblings, like he's going to Tennessee, he's going to Florida.
Yes.
But he's not going anywhere. He's got a loaded class coming back next year. Like, he's got, you know, he's got a quarterback that he's really, you know, he's had having some success with. He's got a backup quarterback who's super talented. Like, everything is rosy in Starkville. Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. If a game can be an omen of things to come.
I must say, that was it. That was gall.
So first of all, and I mean this in all love, it was the ugliest, darkest sporting event I have ever witnessed in person. It was so horrible on so many levels. But like, there was a tone to it where I thought, one, the internet has not helped this rivalry at all. Like, it is so heated.
It was so ugly. I mean, you could tell. I mean, I thought, because I couldn't, I mean, now I was watching on TV in my hotel room in Dallas, as you do on Thanksgiving, by myself with a glass of wine, because that's how I spent my Thanksgiving evening, because we were there for a soccer tournament. But I mean, just the players lined up. I mean, it was like everybody was about to brawl all the way up and down the field. I mean, it was like so contentious.
It was so contentious. And now I will say, when I was at State, there was a State Ole Miss game that had like a bench clearing brawl. This, like, there was just this underlying tone of hatred and contempt. And so, all that to say, when Nick Fitzgerald, that play where he went down, and I looked up at the Jumbotron, and I saw his leg, and I said to my sister, I was like, oh, he's really hurt. I mean, they cut that Jumbotron off, like, in just a flash.
I'm going to tell you that when I saw that, like, I looked up and I saw that and I was like, well, look at that. Because for anybody who didn't see it, and thankfully the internet had the good sense to not replay it over and over again. But I thought, well, his cleat has fallen off his foot and is hanging upside down on his leg is what it looked like. And then I realized, no, his foot is still in that cleat. And I felt sick to my stomach. I mean, I felt sick to my stomach. It was awful.
It was awful. And I've never, and then when you see like the golf cart, not the golf cart, but like the thing where they
have the stretcher
comes on the field. I mean, it was just, and from that point on, like, it was just, I mean, if I could scrape that whole night off my memory, I would. And not just because we lost, like, just because, I mean, in the end, like, there's some good things that happened for State. And I think that, you know, our backup quarterback had to come in, and he really, like, they fought and came back, and, you know, it was, they just lost by three, but like, just for the tone of that game, I'm not a fan. Yeah.
Mm-mm. Well, and Nick Fitzgerald, I mean, I really did, like, I got so teary when he, like, when they were loading him up on that cart to wheel him off, and he was, like, rallying his troops and everything else, I thought, well, I would be throwing up and crying. I mean, this is... That was one of many reasons that I was not ever a Division I football quarterback. Because I thought, whatever that is, where you can get up and your foot is barely attached to your body and you've just been taken out of the biggest game of your season as you've hit your prime, but you can still, like, manage to rally everybody and then go sit and watch the game in the tunnel in your wheelchair.
Yeah, that's the power of adrenaline, everybody. That's the power of adrenaline.
That is something, because I'd have been calling for my morphine and my hospital bed. I mean, like, that was something.
And you know, he came, like, after they got him, like, he came out the second half with the team and sat on the sidelines. But all that to say, it was a dreadful night. And so on the whole way home, you know, my sister was kind of looking, and she was reading Twitter to me and all this kind of stuff. And I was finally like, hey, Mullen's not leaving. He's not going anywhere. Like, I just can't fathom that he would leave. Then all the Tennessee stuff heated up again on Friday. But then yesterday morning, Sunday morning, we wake up and it's like, well, guess what? He's going to Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, he's gone.
And he's gone. He's gone.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he left. I know. And I felt like there was so much that happened because I felt like I watched y'all's game. And then we had, okay, so let's not skip over that Brett Bielema got fired walking off the field.
How about that, Arkansas?
I mean, hey, seriously? Like, your interim AD fires him walking off the field. Like, let the man get to the locker room. I mean, let him, like, tell his players, hey, good season, fellas, or something. But I'm like, walking off the field. I'm like, college football is cold-blooded.
It is cold-blooded. No doubt. It is cold-blooded.
So I'm trying to think what else. And so then A&M and LSU played. That was exactly, I have to say, it pretty much went exactly like I thought it would go. However, there again, I was not actually watching the game because I was at a macaroni grill with soccer families eating meal after a tournament. So I was just following on my phone. At one point, we got as close as 27-21, which is when you texted me and said, I see you Aggies, and I appreciated your support, but I still felt certain that I knew the way that was going to go.
Well, it felt a little bit like we got to seize the positive right here where we can.
Yes. Yes, we are going to take it. And then, sure enough, Sunday morning, it came out that someone had been let go. So he will walk away $10 million richer that he has to be paid within the next 60 days, no matter what he does.
Which, well done, Kevin Sumlin's agent.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you want to talk about the best in the biz is Kevin Sumlin's agent. I mean, that's a good deal. So, and I'm hearing rumblings that he may end up at Arizona State, but I don't know if that's true or not.
I've read the same thing. I will say that we watched that night, they showed parts of his press conference on SEC Network after the game. Mm-hmm. And it made me so teary-eyed. It was very emotional, very emotional. And, of course, at that point, he had not gotten the official word, but it was kind of like the handwriting was on the wall. Yeah. So, we already had McElwain out.
Yep.
We already had Butch Jones out.
Yep.
So
we got Brett Bielema. Brett Bielema's out.
Yeah, Brett Bielema was out. Then Dan Mullen, there's rumblings he's leaving. Kevin Sumlin, Sunday morning you find out he's gone. And then yesterday afternoon we found out that Dan Mullen was gone. That's a lot.
That's a lot. I mean, that's a lot to happen in the coaching world in a short amount of time. And then you had Tennessee essentially had a coach that they were about to hire, and their fans said, nope, right. No thank you. Mm-hmm. So that happened.
Which whole thing's crazy, you know, that
it is, but that's the power of the internet and Twitter that can happen. I mean, I don't think that could have happened 5 years ago. Do you?
No. And I feel like too, you had people like, here comes Hazel. There she is. You have people like Clay Travis who were saying like, you know, we can't have this and you need to get behind this and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, that thing really did fall apart because of what happened on social media.
Yeah. It really did. And then you had Herbstreit saying, y'all don't know that any of this is true and you need to hire him. And then people were calling out Herbstreit. I mean, I was like, this is a whole thing. I mean, I don't know enough about any of it to really speak into.
Right. I don't either.
Which side is right and which side is wrong. I really don't know because Tennessee football is not necessarily my wheelhouse of expertise. So that's that. So now the rumors are, I know A&M, so we've got our board of regents. Our RID came out and said, Kevin Sumlin is gone. The next time you hear from me will be when we're announcing our new head coach. There's a board of regents meeting scheduled for this Thursday at noon.
Okay. And you feel like they've been working on it for a while?
I think it has been going on for a while. All the rumblings are Jimbo Fisher. Now, according to who you look at on Twitter, some people think Jimbo Fisher is playing us to get more money.
Okay.
And it's not going to happen, which I think could happen. I mean, I think that happens all the time. And then other people are saying, no, they think it's really going to happen because he was the offensive coordinator at LSU under Saban back in the early 2000s. Our AD was at LSU at that time. So there's a relationship there. So people are, you know, I mean, anywhere you look, people are saying, here's reasons that he'll come to Texas. Here are the reasons that he won't come to Texas. I think what I don't get is I know that he's divorced and he has two kids that he's really close to, and so I don't know the logistics of what that would mean for him to leave the state of Florida.
Okay.
So I don't know Jimbo's personal life. We are not that close.
Sure. sure. The last time y'all were texting, you didn't get into it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We didn't really get into it, and I don't know what his custody arrangement is, but I just know that he has...
You were just talking offensive strategy, really.
Exactly, exactly. So completely. I'm not sure all the ins and outs of how that would work, but they are saying that the Aggies are prepared to just basically back up a dump truck full of money to
get him. Which is significant, considering that you're paying somebody almost $11 million to leave.
Well, yeah. So, thank you, South Texas Oil. That's essentially...
That's what somebody at work today said. How can they do that? I said, Texas pockets are deeper than they are here.
Yes. Uh-huh. We have a little thing called a bunch of, like, oil reserves that people have found under their land in South Texas that has made millionaires out of a lot of simple folks.
They were willing to support athletic departments.
Exactly. Who want to see the Aggies have a team, have a national championship team. I will say, this is what I'm going to say about Kevin Sumlin. I know that I've had my ups and downs with Aggie football over the years, as we know. I've had my highs, I've had my lows. Mm-hmm. But I will say this for him. I think that overall he ran a program that was full of integrity and character. Mm-hmm. I think he did a great job. And I will say this, he left us better than he found us.
Absolutely. I said the same thing about Dan Mullen. Like, I'm sad that he has left us. And I don't know if you know this, but, you know, our former athletic director, Scott Strickland, who's a state graduate, left state about a year ago to become the athletic director of the University of Florida.
I do remember that. Mm-hmm. I'd forgotten that.
So now Mullen is working with his former AD from state. They're both at Florida now. But I love what he did for Mississippi State and what he did for Mississippi State football. I love some of the most fun memories of, I would say, my adult life, and my most fun memories with friends who I consider family, have been at games where he's been the coach. And I love the atmosphere that... I don't know. It's been fun at different stages for different reasons, but it's been a really fun ride with him. And golly, I wouldn't take anything for that 2014 season with Dak and being number one and all that stuff. So I hope, I know that sometimes coaches feel like they need to make moves for whatever reason, even if they're in a situation that's good. And so I'm the same. I feel like he's left us in an even better situation than where he found us, and I feel like he ran a really good, clean program, and so that's a good thing.
Yeah, So that's that. I think the coaching world is so interesting, though, because like now they're talking about like Mike Leach might go to Arkansas, and you think he was at Tech, and then he's been at Washington. I'm like, we really just kind of rotate these coaches around and hope that they're going to create some sort of different magic than what they've already had. You know what I mean? Like. And, I think it's just kind of funny the way it works.
And maybe we all need to sort of maybe ease up on our expectations a little bit. Because you and I talked about this last week. Kevin Sumlin and Dan Mullen had really similar records.
Yeah, yeah, they did. I mean, their records were very similar, but it was just the difference became what A&M had high expectations. They felt like they had paid him, which is fair. I mean, if you're getting paid $5 million a year to do a job, I mean, you know what your job is. You know what I mean? But I also think that I would really hate to think that my $5 million a year paycheck depended on the mindset of some 18 and 19-year-old boys who are talented but are also 18 and 19-year-old boys. I mean... I think as we learn from the Iron Bowl, let's talk about that little sore spot for some people.
Yeah.
On Friday, you never know what's going to happen, or on Saturday. Nobody saw that coming.
No, but well, I think, you know what, though? I think most people here thought that Auburn was going to win that game. And I don't know why.
Okay.
Everybody was talking last week about how they thought Auburn was going to win it. But I think that was more because I think Alabama showed that they were vulnerable when they played us.
That's true.
But even still, you still think in that situation, Nick Saban's going to pull a trick out of his hat and they're going to pull three. But I don't know. It's interesting when you think about coaches, when you think about the amount of pressure that's on them, when you think about the way that those 18 and 19-year-old kids, how they're... That dynamic affects those coaches' families.
I mean, you think
at how many times some of these coaches have, how many times they've moved.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I know. It is crazy. Because I did think that because I saw a picture of Dan Mullen apparently on a plane on his way to Florida and his kids. I was like, his kids are still young enough. Mm-hmm. But I thought, like, depending on your kids' ages and whatever, you're like, well, I don't want to move. I'm a sophomore in high school or whatever. You know, like, I don't want to move to a new town. So, I don't know. It's just very, it's a weird world.
It is a weird world. But, you know, we should know something, I guess. I don't know when state's going to have an answer. Apparently, they've been working on it. It seems like, according to the internet, which, as we know, is always very accurate. Like,
it's where you can find all factual information for sure.
Because, by the way, somebody last night had changed the Wikipedia entry for Scott Strickland, state's former athletic director, who's now at the University of Florida, to a job title that was maybe not when you would list for small children. I don't know. But
yes.
But apparently state has at least talked to Jeremy Pruitt, who is the defensive coordinator at Alabama.
Okay.
And that's kind of the main name that's getting thrown around right now. So,
okay. Yeah, I know. And you start to hear a name, and it's funny because I feel like the Aggies, I feel like it's either going to be Jimbo Fisher, or it's going to be Chad Morris, who's the coach at SMU. I feel like that's the other name you keep hearing thrown around. But then last night, everybody loses their minds because then it was like somebody was retweeting and they were like, this is a tweet from one of the Board of Regents' wives. She just tweeted this out. And it was like this thing. And it was like Jimbo Fisher, they're announcing tomorrow at 9 a.m. like 6 years, $32 million contract, blah, blah, blah. And then people are coming on going, this isn't a real account. This is a fake account. Blah. I mean, I was like,
there was one of those, it was Friday or Saturday night, I can't remember, where somebody was like, had tweeted something like, just saw Dan Mullen checking into the Marriott downtown in Knoxville. Like,
it's always, well, Jimbo Fisher's house is up for sale. They just saw a Remax realtor put his property up for sale. So clearly, I mean, that's,
oh, I'm like, golly, the internet detectives. I'm telling you what.
And then I got tickled because then what also happened last night while all that was going on, our Aggie basketball team went out to USC and beat the number 10 USC team in basketball, like dismantled them. And so somebody was like, who even cares about football? A&M's a basketball school now. You know, so it was like, like we're focused on basketball. Nobody even cares about football.
Uh-huh.
So, but
for the next 4 minutes.
Yeah, and I was driving home from Dallas last night. Like, so while all this happened, I said I was driving home from Dallas last night. I'm going to say I left Dallas at 1:45 and did not get back to my home until 8 o'clock. That's normally like a 4.5, five hour drive. It was misery. And all this was happening, and I'm driving, so I can't check my phone. I can't see what's going on. I can't be on Twitter. I felt so out of the loop, you know, like I'm listening to top hits on Spotify as Caroline's playing them. So I know all those songs, but I didn't know what was happening with all the coaching and the carousel and the whole thing. I mean, I had a vague idea because my phone kept ding, 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 you know, like letting me know. But so I had to get home. I mean, I was up till midnight last night trying to sort through all the news.
Well, of course. I mean, you had to somehow get all that stuff ready for,
that's right. I had
for
to
our
be prepared.
Special podcast episode today.
That's exactly right. And then, so then that leads into that. So I was all prepared for that. I said, we're going to need to have a coaching podcast. And then, bam, this morning you texted me about Harry and Meghan.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. There are some moments in time where you feel like the good news comes at just the right moment.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you that after that dumpster fire of a game I sat and watched this past Thursday night. And after
the darkest, let me quote you, the darkest sporting event you've ever attended.
That's without question. And I've talked to other people. I actually saw a friend of mine who is an Ole Miss fan. And the other day, this was Saturday when my sister and I were out shopping. And I ran into a friend of mine who went to Ole Miss. And she said, was that not the darkest game you have ever seen in your life? And I'm telling you, it was, there were. It was something. It was not. Listen, there was nothing joyful about it. Nothing.
That's one thing that we didn't talk about. And I know you can't say this because you've got all your Mississippi ties and you're going to try to play it a little more politically correct. But I've been so tickled because Ole Miss also was, they had an interim coach who now they've just decided to hire. And I feel like it's a little bit like, hey, we're about to be in a whole lot of trouble. So let's just see if like your Uncle Matt can come coach us. Like, let's just sign him on. to come coach the, I notice you're being real quiet, but it's like they knew nobody wants to touch that with a 10-foot pole right now.
From what I understand.
I can say it. Listen, just don't, this isn't Sophie saying this. This is me saying this. So I'm a Texas girl, so y'all can get mad at me, whatever. You can tell me. I'm just saying it just feels a little bit like everybody just had to kind of go, this is what we can do right now.
Well, I will say my brother just sent me a text, my Ole Miss graduate brother. But yeah, I will say now the Luke family, they're fine people. I do think things are going to get worse there before they get better.
Yes, yes. And I think I'm real happy for him because I think to get to go back and coach for your school and where you played and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm super happy for him. I mean, it's kind of like seeing Ed Orgeron at LSU. You're like, there are people that you know, this is your dream job and now you've gotten it. And so, but I just think it was funny to me when I was like, well, that seemed like, okay, he's got the job.
So. Well, I will say the fact that an Ole Miss player got in the state end zone and raised his leg like he was going to the bathroom. I kept thinking, what in the world would my mama say about this? Like, what in the world would my mama say? Like, there are just moments where you think, this has gone a step too far.
That's an all new. We've reached a sporting low. It's called a sporting event low, right there.
Can I say this? And then we'll come back to Meghan and Harry because that's really the most important thing.
Yeah,
I have a whole thing, and my sister and I were talking about this on the way home from the game, and this has nothing to do with state, nothing to do with Ole Miss, just in general. I think that if a player is ejected from the game, whether that's for targeting or for they've been called for unsportsmanlike conduct 2 times or for whatever reason. I think that if that player draws attention to himself in any way as he leaves the field, if he fires comments across the field at the other team, if he addresses the fans in the stands, whatever he's doing, then I think you get suspended for another game.
Yeah.
I think you should. And if you're about to graduate, then I think you're going to have to pay a fine. Because I don't like this trend where... And we saw it a couple of times over the holidays or the weekend before the holidays, like with targeting calls where then people, like that's a thing that fires somebody up if they get thrown, they're getting ejected for targeting. And I don't think that's a good thing. I don't think that's the direction we want to go.
Well, and I think that leads into, and this is a whole other thing, is I felt like considering some of the things that people are getting away with, I felt like everybody was unusually harsh on Baker Mayfield. I did not think that what he did was appropriate or condonable, but I'm like, why did Baker Mayfield have to take that hit? Like, I don't know. I didn't totally get that because I'm like, they also refused to shake his hand. Like, they started it and then it felt like it all got dumped on him. And he did not respond appropriately. Me wrong. And I am certainly the last person to be an OU apologist because whatever, but I'm just saying, I just felt like that all got way blown out of proportion in light of, it felt very much, and see, maybe this is my, it felt Johnny Manziel-ish to me, where I'm like, so we're going to get all mad because he wore a Scooby-Doo costume for Halloween. Like I was like, it was a bad error in judgment, but it felt like it just got so
blown out of proportion.
I think people don't like him because he's arrogant and he's cocky and all that stuff. But I also think that's part of why he's a winning quarterback, because he's arrogant and cocky. I mean, I think some of that comes with it. So,
well, maybe our friends at the SEC will be the ones to sort of lead the pack in terms of, hey, if somebody's going to get thrown out for targeting, maybe they have to behave in a sportsmanlike way as they exit the field.
Maybe so. And I'm going to give a disclaimer, unless it's like, and I don't mean to bring up, but when the Shazer Everett, because you know how I feel about that. That was a bad call. I realized that 4 or 5 seasons ago, but he was wrongly accused of targeting. And I blamed him for being mad because he was falsely accused. That was a bad call. SEC, I love you, but that was a bad call.
I'm telling you, it is the thorn in your side. It really is.
It is. Our next podcast t-shirt is going to be free to Shazer. I mean, I just...
It is the thorn in your side.
I can't let it go. I can't let it go. So
let me ask you this before you move on to Meghan and Harry.
Okay. And my
little soapbox about the how we handle our penalties at games. How do you feel about the Jimbo Fisher hire, if that's what happens?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't know. I mean, I don't know, because I did not care for Jimbo Fisher when he was the coach at Florida State, because I felt like I didn't really understand all the, and I don't want to open up a whole can of worms, but I don't know all the ins and outs of the Jameis Winston situation and how much of that got covered up and how much of that really happened and all of that stuff. So I'm a little worried about that, because I go back to, like, as much as I would love to have a winning football team, I'm so much more worried about, I want character and integrity, and I want our kids to have, you know, I think athletes need to be held accountable for more than just their athletic ability. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what I think. I don't feel like I know enough about him at this point. I mean, so now don't get me wrong. I've been researching him heavily over the last 24 hours. And so I could even tell you the details of his divorce settlement, but I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, the internet. It is a wondrous. Yeah.
Yes, but so I don't know. I feel like he's the splashy kind of hire that A&M wants to make, and I feel like that's everybody's. I mean, I feel like A&M is hungry. It's like, we've spent the money, we've built the stadium, we moved to the SEC, we've done all that. Like, so I feel like he's the splashy hire, whereas Chad Morris would kind of feel like the hire, because it's like, oh, we just went to Texas and got a Texas boy, you know, mm-hmm. Which is kind of what we did with Sumlin. But I don't know. I think just because he won a national championship at Florida State doesn't mean that he can produce a national championship anywhere he goes.
So who would be your perfect candidate? Are you more of a Chad Morris person?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think I am. I don't think I'm necessarily Chad Morris either. I think that's the whole problem, is if I had my heart set on somebody, I would say, I don't know who I would say. I laughed because my friend Trevor told me this weekend that he had heard some big money ags saying that the big shock was going to be that we were going to end up hiring Bob Stoops. He was going to come out of retirement. And I said, I do not want that to happen. Right. I'm not interested in Bob Stoops. No, thank you. So I know what I don't want. I don't know what I do want.
Okay.
I feel kind of, I don't know. I mean, part of me says, I wish you could get a guy that's like a young, fiery kind of guy. I mean, ideally, if you could travel back in time, I wish we could have gotten Kirby Smart.
Well, that's all worked out pretty well. Yeah,
I was gonna say, it's easy to look now and go, wow, that was a really good call. But I know, like, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, when people were rumbling about Kirby Smart, there were people that were like, that doesn't mean he's going to be a good head coach. Well, guess what? I think he's a pretty darn good head coach.
Well, and so, you know, the whole thing is like, and I thought about this today as I was reading about, you know, is it going to be Jeremy Pruitt? Is it going to be, you know, this person or that person? And I thought, whoever it is, if they come in and they do a decent job at the press conference when they're introduced,
uh-huh.
and they cast a vision,
yeah,
and they're a reasonably good guy, like, we'll be like, oh, I think they're great. You know, I mean, well, you'll just kind of, you'll get on, you're going to be on board regardless. It just may take you a minute or two to get used to the new person.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's it. Like, I'll be all in for whoever we hire. Like, when it comes down, I'll be all in and I'll be excited. And, you know, I mean, listen, we've lived through Dennis Franchione and Mike Sherman, so we can live through anything as Aggies. So, but I do think A&M has, just in case any coach is listening or Jimbo is weighing his decision and decided to listen to the Big Boo Cast before making
as I his feel decision. Like, for sure he will.
Probably, yeah. But I feel like A&M has a lot to offer. I'm like, we're coming off of, I mean, we've had 8-plus wins for our last however many seasons. We've got top-notch facilities. You've got great recruiting. We've got a young roster of players. So, I mean, I feel like it's a good job for somebody. But
I do, too. I feel like it's a great job.
Yeah, so I don't know. So we'll see what happens. But I'll be all in. I'll be all in for whoever we end up hiring.
Okay, so Harry and Meghan Markle.
It's the best. I feel like, you know how you said that you felt like that tweet that Suzanne got was like an omen for what was to come for that night?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like the Meghan and Harry news is like, I feel like it's God's way of telling us, hey, guess what? 2018, it's going to be a lot better.
Okay. Listen, I'm gonna tell you that you know how I have struggled and cried my way through the news all year.
Yes,
and I felt like today I thought, is this what joy feels like when reading things on the internet? Is this what is this bliss I feel in my soul?
It's like, just I'm like the fact that like you could not script, as you know, mm-hmm. as anybody who was listening knows, you and I fell in love with a book called The Royal We, what, 3 years ago?
Yes, I think 3 years ago.
It's so good.
It's not for children. It's a little racy in parts.
But it's so good. And I feel like you could not have dreamed that that book would come true. And now it's come true.
Okay, so did you watch their interview? Have you watched the interview?
Yes, I've watched most of it. I did not watch it all the way to the end because I ran out of time, but okay. I have watched, I've heard that they had cooked in their home, that they had made a roast chicken, that he got down on one knee.
Okay.
Like, what is happening?
Okay. I'll put the video up at least the link for the video up with this podcast, but I'm going to tell you a few things that have really impacted me from that interview.
Okay.
Here's the first one. The first thing that really impacted me is they really like to look in one another's eyes. Did you notice that?
Yes. 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 They are smitten. They are smitten kittens to the nth degree. I mean, it's just like, I mean, they're the kind that if you were, you'd be like, I kind of feel a little sick sitting across from y'all at dinner. I'm going to be honest.
I mean, it was a lot of direct eye contact. I felt like, but not in a creepy, like in a good way. Like they are.
No, very. Yes. Very they're very connected.
Captivated by each other. Like mm-hmm. there was a lot mm-hmm. of eye contact. And then here was this. Oh, this one. I just got goosebumps thinking about this, because this is such a royal wee thing. The fact that he said he fell in love with her so quickly.
Yes. Yes. He said, yes. He mm-hmm. said like when he first saw her, like it was like love at first sight. It's like he knew. And I think that I love that, like one of the articles I read, cause yes, I did subscribe to the Times UK today, just so I get all the news, mm-hmm. but the article said that he was besotted, and it said that he like basically like bombarded her with texts to see when he could see her again. And I'm like, he blew up her phone. Like it's mm-hmm. such like a modern day, like mm-hmm. he had to see her again. Mm-hmm. And I mean, here's the thing. Look at her. I mean, my goodness.
She's
gracious.
Beautiful. But in she's the, yeah, so
gorgeous,
so elegant. And she so looks the part of like somebody who would marry a prince. She's just, and I loved just, she's so, my mama would say she's very poised, but she's mm-hmm. so poised and so articulate. And
yes.
Anyway, so they looked in each other's eyes a lot. He said he fell in love with her almost instantly. And after it was only after 2 dates, they knew that they were going to, it was a situation where they were going to make time. They were going to figure out how to spend time together.
Yeah.
Here was the other thing that I loved. And this is just my cheesy side. The side of me that loves to read about leadership strategies and things like this, but mm-hmm. I love that she said, or that he said that they were going to be a team, like that they were so excited about what they could do as a team. I love that.
Yes. Yes. And I think you see that, like, and I think that's it. Like they share the same like passions, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like they're so well matched. I love that they take long walks in the woods.
Yes.
I love that they have roasted chicken. I'm like, it's, they have quiet nights at home. Yes. I love that they got to date in secret for like 6 months and mm-hmm. really get to know each other before it was out to the world.
I love that they had people who kept that secret for them.
Yes, yes. I'm so happy for her that she has good hair, because can you imagine if some girl with like some thin hair had fallen in love with him and then had to stand next to Kate for like the rest? But I'm like, they're equally hair matched.
They are. They really are. I thought that today. I thought there are very few women who could stand next to Kate Middleton, or Catherine as they refer to her. But there are very few women who could stand next to Kate Middleton and not be, at least on a superficial level, diminished in some way by that experience.
Yes, for sure. But not her. They are equals. They are beauty equals. I'm going to tell you too, something else that I've been real tickled about today is apparently, I guess somewhere, some British, either the paper or whatever, they've already come out to tell Americans that we can't call her Princess Meghan. And our response has been, yes, we can. We can call her whatever we want. Don't tell us what we can call our American actress who's marrying your prince. If we want to call her Princess Meghan, we're going to call her Princess Meghan. So you can do what you want with that, UK, but we're calling her Princess Meghan. Like,
she's our princess.
She's our princess. And so that's what we're going to call her. So y'all are just going to have to deal with it. Y'all can call her Duchess or, you know, whatever y'all want to call her. Mm-hmm. We're going to call her Princess Meghan. Mm-hmm. So just deal with it. That's the way it's going to go down. Like, it tickles me to no end. I'm like, he could not have made a better match.
Well, I saw something earlier too that said that their child will also be an American citizen. So technically there could be a member of the royal family who is eventually eligible to be president. Now, if you're a constitutional scholar and anything that I just said is inaccurate, please don't.
don't have to set me straight about that.
Like, we'll all be fine. We're living our best pretend life right now.
That's right. Somewhere. This is the podcast where we're going to hear from the Ole Miss fans, from the Bob Stoops people, and from the constitutional apologists.
Yeah.
That's who we're going. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This one.
But I read it on the internet, and today that's all I need for something to be true. It's just that I read it on the internet.
Yes. So, that when we're 105, that mm-hmm. their baby could be president. And so that's super exciting. Well, and I mean, she's 36, and so yeah. I'm thinking not only are we going to get a royal wedding, I mean, I think we'll get babies sooner rather than later, which also makes me very happy.
Yes. Well, they seem just like the sweetest couple. Like, they seem just like a couple of delightful people who found one another.
I agree. And I love that she said that her first question was, when their friend wanted to set him up, was, is he nice? Because yes. if he's not nice, I don't see the point. And I'm like, I love that. Like, didn't matter that he was a prince. And it's like, I feel like they really got to know each other for who they really are.
And she said that she didn't know much about him. And so she was really able to get to know him based on what he told her.
Mm-hmm.
And not on what she'd read. As opposed to if you or I had been in that situation, we'd have been like, so on August the 4th, in 1996, I read in People magazine.
Yeah. When you wrote that sign that you put on your mother's coffin and then you walked behind her in that thing, what were your thoughts on? Yeah, that's the whole thing. You know what else I loved is that when he said that when she met the queen, which I'm like, okay, that's intimidating.
Yes.
Meeting the families, you know, but hey, I'm going to go meet Charles and Camilla and the queen, that she met the queen. And he said that the corgis immediately liked her, that they've been barking at him for 33 years and they just laid at her feet.
I love that. I thought that was darling.
I love that. And I think that could be a good gauge for Alex Hudson is someday if he brings home a girl and Hazel just lays at her feet, you'll know she's the
one.
I'm
going to tell you what. I may think it's Jesus.
That's the sign. If Hazel obediently lays at somebody's feet and seems immediately content, you'll go, that's the one. That's the girl. That's the future Mrs. Hudson right there.
Mm-hmm. We have, ladies and gentlemen, here she is.
Yep, we have found her.
So,
no more.
We don't know exactly when in the spring the wedding's going to be, do we?
No, they just said spring 2018. I'm sure, because then I've already seen a bunch of things where they're like, can she get married and wherever, because she's been divorced. So that's a thing. So they're saying, can she get married in the Church of England? But I'm betting if anybody can pull some strings, it's going to be the royal family.
Well, I cannot wait. I cannot wait. I don't know. Uh-uh. I don't know when it will be, but I will be in front of my television.
I know.
I wish we could be together.
Oh, well, we may have to be. We may have to figure it out depending on when it's going to be. I've also been tickled because I also feel like Kate is going to get the time honored, which we've all been there to some extent, that she's going to get to be the pregnant sister-in-law at the wedding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, that's great. Listen, I'm excited about that third royal baby. I mean, I'm equally on board for that as I am for the wedding. But I thought that's one of those for the rest of time. And so many of us have that where we're like, well, there I am just big and pregnant at my sister-in-law's wedding. You know, like she's never looked better. And I'm just 8 months pregnant, a little swollen, feel a little sick.
I don't have any ankles. So,
yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I'll be interested to see. But, you know, there again, it's not like, I mean, I think the way that this all works, my understanding of royal weddings, I haven't talked to Meghan specifically, but I know that Kate will be like a bridesmaid. I don't think that's how the royal weddings work.
Yeah, they usually just have like one grown attendant and then children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some children who happen to be born into the right families or whatever.
I also like that Harry said that Meghan's mama was amazing.
Yes, yes. And I love that her parents came out and said that she is such an amazing person and she so deserves this. You know, like you can just tell everybody's so happy and they seem so real. And so now the center of her ring, in case y'all have not read, is from Botswana, because that's a very important place to them. That's where they camped out under the stars for 5 nights after they decided that they were going to make it work, which right there, see, and I'm like, just like I wouldn't have been a Division I quarterback, that's why I would never be a princess, because I'd be like, no, you want me to go camp out where? Where? In Africa? I'm going to go sleep under the stars? Okay. So, and then the other two diamonds are from his mom, and I love that.
And the ring, I feel like, is very beautiful. It's very classic. Like, it's not super flashy. I mean, it's gorgeous. It's
yeah.
But it's not... Yeah, but
it's not ostentatious. Mm-mm. There's nothing about it that's... No, it's just like them. I'm just... I could not be more thrilled. I can't wait to see what she's going to wear. I'm so glad that we're going to have another royal person to watch and hair to emulate and all that. It's just... I'm just on board for all of it.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Today, when they did their little... When they did their little stroll at Kensington Palace or wherever they were... Were you surprised by the white raincoat?
I was a little surprised by the white raincoat. I thought it looked really pretty because I felt like she really stood out in it. I felt like some things that I have read have said that that was very deliberate in to give this like white, pure, they're trying to take people's mind off the fact that she's been divorced, which that feels really calculated.
Yeah, that does.
I mean, I don't know that.
Get the white raincoat. Like,
yeah, let's go with a white raincoat. How do we make sure that people won't think about the fact she's been married before? I bet a white raincoat will do it.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, that'll.
And I also think that in this day and age, I'm like, I mean, I get, and I, because he's royal or whatever, but I'm like, nobody, I mean, does anybody care about that? I don't really think that's that big of a deal. Like, I don't know. I feel like we're more modern than that.
Yeah, I don't really feel like that was, it certainly was not at the forefront of my mind when I saw them. I just.
No, could care less.
I was like, I was kind of like Martha. I was having a little bit of an, oh, pretty princess. Oh, pretty princess. Yeah, pretty princess. Like, I was kind of more in that frame of mind.
Yes, yeah, could care less. But, I mean, I guess there are people, and there are traditionalists and all that who, you know, are worried about that in terms of, you know. But I'm like, you know, it's been a long time since King Edward and Wallace Simpson, you know. Yeah. It's a new day. It's a new day. I mean, not to mention the fact that they've been making roast chicken and taking long walks. I mean, so.
Roast chicken made an impact on me as well. I felt like it was a very specific detail.
We were
cooking supper, but we were roasting a chicken. Like,
because I'm like, here's the thing, Carrie and I've roasted a chicken. Sure. You know what I mean? Like, that's you know, I don't know. It's just such a normal thing to do because it's not like we were under the stars after a day of safariing in Africa. It's right. Like, no, we were home. I'd had a roasted chicken. We'd had a glass of wine. Hey, will you marry me? It just is all so normal.
Well, I think they're as cute as they can be. I think they're darling. I hope they're very happy.
I think they are too. And there's one picture, and you're going to have to find the link to it to put it up, but it was one of the official pictures that came when she was in the white raincoat. And like they're all cute, but there's one where she's kind of looking up at him, and I'm like, she looks like the cat that ate the canary, and I do not blame her one bit. I thought if there was ever a facial expression that sums up, like, I'm an American actress who's about to marry this prince, it was that face. I mean, like, it was the I'm the luckiest girl alive face.
Well, I think it's going to be neat to see what they're going to do. I don't know that we've ever had a couple with such a public profile in like a royal family situation that was sort of so passionate about the same sorts of issues and both so in love with the continent of Africa. And I don't know. I think it's going to be neat to see what they do.
Yeah, I think it's going to be cool. And I think for them, it's so like... Here's the thing. If I were William and Kate, like, I would be a little bit jealous of them because I think Harry and Meghan get to walk in a freedom that William and Kate can't because he's, what, Harry's like sixth in line to the throne. So it's like you don't have the pressure of you're going to be king. So they get to, I feel like their life gets to be a little bit more their own than William and Kate. So I do think it'll be cool to see what they do with that because they really can do anything, you know?
Well, I want you to keep us updated because I actually, when I saw today that you had subscribed to the Times,
yes,
I went to the website and I was like, well, I want to know if it's like what's here. And I couldn't even read that first article because you know, you had to give them your email address or something. But I want to know in the next week or so if you think it's worth it.
Okay. Yeah, I'll let you know. Because it was, to me, just being able to read that article. Now, I will say, I read that article first, then the interview came out later. Now, based on that, I will say some of the information that I read in the Times appears to be inaccurate based on what Terry himself.
You should write a letter to the editor.
I know, it's fake news is what I'm going to tell you it was. Some of it was apparently it's not just CNN. The Times UK also is fake news because there was a little bit of some discrepancies in the story.
Okay.
But I still love reading all of it. Here's the thing that I hope, and they never did this for William and Kate, so I guess maybe this day is over. But remember, like with Diana and Charles, they did like a fictional Lifetime movie based on their romance.
Oh, yes, ma'am, I remember. Yeah, yes, like I do.
I kind of hope that we're not past that day. Like, I would like to have a fictional reenactment of how everybody thinks that this went down that we could watch with an actress who isn't nearly as attractive as Meghan Markle actually is, and with a Harry who's just some British redhead that they happen to find. Okay. Like, I'm in for that too.
Okay. I'm gonna believe that that will be a reality for us.
Mm-hmm. I think it's. Because, you know, Christmas, I always say that the theme of every Hallmark Christmas movie, for the most part, there's always at least like one or two that is that a girl goes to a foreign country named Monrovia or something like that and is there just on...
Estonia. Wait, Estonia actually is a country, isn't it?
I don't know. It's okay. Called like Estona Medovia. It's like some whatever. And she goes there and she's just a hapless American girl who happens to like be sitting by a fountain. And eating a sandwich, and she meets a guy who she thinks is just a commoner, and he turns out to be a prince. I feel like that's a recurring, and then they fall in love, and it's Christmas time, and it snows. So this is like a real version of that.
Mm-hmm. And scene. And Estonia is a real country, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and that's, I know that makes everybody wish that I would write a fiction book based on my imagination in that scenario.
What kind of sandwich are you eating?
It was a ham sandwich. She had never normally liked a guy who would eat a ham sandwich. She herself preferred turkey. But that day, something was different.
Since the dawn of time, she had preferred the turkey sandwich.
There was a sparkle in her eye as they both reached for a chip. Well, it's banner day. I feel like it has been a fast, exciting news cycle full of all the things that are important to me in my life. And so for that, I am very grateful.
Yes, yes. And we certainly trust the leadership at our schools that they will make decisions that are the very best for our schools. And we are grateful for the distraction of a royal wedding in the middle.
Coaching carousel.
In the middle of the coaching carousel. Yes. And I would say, and maybe, you know, maybe news that on a regular basis tends to be a little bit depressing. Yay, yeah, Royals.
Yeah. Go Royals. Good job. Good job, guys. Good time for it to break.
That's right. Okay. Well, that's our special episode, y'all. Maybe we didn't have anything new to share, but we got to share all our feelings. So for that, we're very thankful.
We did share all. Oh, you know what? I do have one more thing to say since we're just, well, tack this on since who knows when we'll do another podcast.
Okay.
Because, okay. So have you watched Stranger Things?
I have not.
Okay. I watched the whole first season this weekend.
Did you like it?
I'm going to tell you that the strangest thing of Stranger Things is that I actually did. Like,
you did? See, I don't think I would like it.
I didn't think I would like it either. I was totally prepared. Caroline had watched it and she was like, she had even said, I don't think you'll like it. And then we were sitting in the hotel room during the soccer tournament and I said, I need a show. I don't have anything to watch. There's nothing. I'm waiting for The Crown. There's nothing to watch. I'm sitting in this hotel room. And she said, just watch the first episode of Stranger Things. I'll watch it with you. And I was like, okay. And it hooked me. I will tell you, it hooked me. And I stayed up last night till 1 a.m. to finish watching season one. And I don't know why. It's everything I normally hate in a show. It's sci-fi, it's weird, it's creepy, it's the whole, but there's something about it. It's compelling. It's good storytelling. So
okay.
I will say that with the disclaimer of, if you don't like scary things, but I don't like scary things. I don't like gross things. I don't like horror movies. I don't like any of that. It's not that scary. It's just more like creepy and like mysterious, but okay. I actually liked it.
Okay. So. Well, same. I mean, Alex liked it, but he has also said, Mama, I don't think you'll like it. So, yeah. Because that's just typically not my go-to sort of genre. But
no. It's not mine. I mean, mine, I just told you what mine is. It's mm-hmm. it's a prince that falls in love with a princess who's eating a sandwich that's by right. a fountain. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, Stranger Things, maybe it's the 80s thing. It feels real nostalgic to me. Like, it does feel very Goonies, Gremlins-esque.
Okay.
So I don't know. I'm just saying it may be worth a whirl. That's okay. all I'm saying.
I feel like that's a strong recommendation.
Okay, well, I'm nervous because I don't want people being like, see, now everybody's going to call me and say, I'm mad at you about Bob Stoops. I'm mad about Ole Miss. I'm mad about the Constitution.
You didn't say anything bad about Ole Miss other than the fact that they are probably going to...
In some trouble. They're probably going to be in some trouble.
They've got some NCAA consequences coming down the pike, more than likely.
It. Yeah, and that's just life. So, anyway. So, Stranger Things, I'm just saying... I can kind of get it now. I was real confused by why people liked it, but now I can at least say, okay, I get why it's, because like I'll start season two tonight. Like I'll okay. keep watching it. So all right. That's all I'm saying. Okay. All right.
Well, that is good to know. So go Dogs.
Dig a Maggies.
And yay, Harry and Meghan. I feel like we should say Congrats. Something better. What? Oh, yeah.
Congratulations, you two crazy kids.
That's right. Best wishes to y'all.
Best wishes always.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll talk to y'all later.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.